Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Hour three, Tony, let's go. Sierra Santos is great. Glad that she could hang out. It's always cool when we get the opportunity to kick it. Some good stuff there. I'm Lawrence Holmes here with you until 10 o'clock. We'll find out what's going on with the Packers in the 9 o'clock hour when our buddy Jim Ozarski is on the show. I want to get more in depth on the White Sox before we go back to talking about the Bears. James Fagan writes for The Athletic, and he covers the White Sox like a blanket. We haven't had the chance to really talk because, you know, Bears, hashtag Bears. But the Machado stuff is interesting to me. I'm also interested in the fact that the White Sox and Bryce Harper conversation has gotten real quiet when it was super loud when the season ended. So I wanted to pick James's brain, and you should read his work over at The Athletic. Hey, James, you're on the score.
Hey, how are the Bears doing?
Not great. Not great. That thing's over. And your season, what's Sox Fest? 2 weeks away?
Two and maybe something like three. I'm focused on Dominican. I'm going there next week.
So. Are you really?
Yeah.
Are you going just for baseball, or are you? Is this like a working vacation?
This is all work, no vacation.
Really? Oh, this is very exciting, sir. So if I may ask, what types of things are you hoping to get done while you're there in the DR watching Sox prospects?
Mostly talking to Eloy. I want to see how he's entering the season and kind of focusing on 2019, you know, barring Machado or anything like that. You know, Eloy is probably the big story of that. So kind of seeing what his mindset after being everyone expecting him to come up and, you know, very publicly kind of getting shut down from that and the disappointment he went through, kind of looking at how he's looking at 2019.
Well, that's one of the things I wanted to ask you about him. How did he take not being called up? Does he understand the business of it? Or did he – because it looked like he had accomplished everything that he needed to accomplish in the minors.
I mean, it looked like he accomplished everything he needed to accomplish by, like, June. So I'm sure there's lots of disappointment, but all indications of that. You know, Rickon went to DR. They had dinner with the family. Now his little brother's in the organization. It seems like things have been smoothed over effectively that I don't expect them to make really any waves.
How's Kopech doing?
All indications that he's doing fine. He seems relaxed, as far as I can tell. I haven't really had much contact with him, but they said everything's going well and his surgery success. I don't think he's going to be, you know, throwing or any time soon, but everything seems, you know, on the level as far as it can be in this kind of murky stage of the Tommy John recovery where you don't really have any indication of what the guy's stuff is going to be as he comes back.
So how long is your trip to the DR going to be?
4 days.
That's not bad, man. In the middle of January, getting yourself to the Dominican Republic? Woo!
Yeah, I don't know how I'll deal with the weather. I know it's really difficult down there.
Yeah, real difficult, man. Are you even packing anything? Or are you just going to be like, nah, I'll just get some stuff when I get there?
Just like take a Walgreens plastic bag full of like toiletries and that's it.
That's it, man. That's all you need. That and a pad to write with. That's all you need. So I would love to know from someone who's in the middle of covering this, of where the big name free agents are going to go. What's it like when you're hearing from people around baseball of the White Sox being in the mix for Bryce Harper and or Manny Machado?
Stressful. You know, you think you have a spare moment to like go to the gym like every now and then, and then you come out and your phone's just fill up with new stuff and There's no time to relax, and everything could possibly be the moment that the biggest story in like the franchise in like a decade happens, or it's, you know, just 2 months of pretty much nothing and going back and forth, and a lot of people debating things about themselves about what's going to happen while really only having kind of 30-40% of the information or idea of what's happening.
Yeah, it's there's part of me, I am a skeptic. I'm not a cynic yet, but I am a skeptic. And one of the things that's bothered me about the coverage of the White Sox, specifically in the pursuit of Harper, is that it feels like the White Sox are trying to speak it into existence with the people that they're talking to. Like, you know, we might be in on Harper, and we might be a lead on Harper. And it made me feel like, are they really in on him, or do they just want people to think that they're in on him because it raises their profile? Is that too skeptical?
I would say it's a little too skeptical. I mean, I think it's genuine. I mean, it's not necessarily, you know, going above and beyond where they're throwing the financials at it, where it's absolutely, we want this to happen no matter what. We're willing to go to like a scale never seen before. But I think they realize very much that, you know, if you're going to shred the payrolls to the degree they have and absolutely like empty out the major league roster, it absolutely behooves you. It makes so much sense in the world. It would be almost disgraceful to not go after the absolute top of the market in free agency, because these are guys who fit into your window. And, you know, you have, even if you're going to carry kind of a bottom half of the league payroll, you've gutted it to such a sense that you can carry this type of people. There would be absolutely no reason to not go after this level of talent unless you just have some philosophical disagreement about paying one player like this type of salary or pursuing, you know, you're dealing with like a super agent like Scott Boras. And ultimately, I don't think they want to have the public image that they have those type of stances. So I think their pursuit of him has been real. I don't know if it's necessarily been relentless, but I think they've been really kind of in on these markets.
What do you think the market is? Like, at the beginning of the season, the number that we were hearing on Harper was $400 million. And I don't know if we're going to get to that number now. I think that it's probably unlikely that he signs a 10-year deal with no opt-out. Same thing for Machado, but you're around it every day. What makes sense as far as the numbers go on either one of these guys?
I mean, I probably thought they were both getting 10 years at the start, and I probably thought that they would both demand opt-outs just from their end. Now it's probably with Machado, my guess is probably more in the 7 or 8 year range, in the, you know, between 240 and 280, and it's kind of about how much his willingness to, or his interest in going to another market or New York specifically would drag him down on that, and how much you know, Philly and the White Sox are willing to kind of go above to pull him away, what would seem to be, you know, a preference from pretty much any superstar. You can usually bank on them wanting to play for a major New York or L.A. market or a Boston-type team and play for an immediate contender, as much as the White Sox have said that's not a factor and that teams are looking for a long-term fit. You know, you can always trust at any point in time that the Red Sox, the Yankees, the Dodgers are going to be competing and contending during the time he's been there, and the White Sox are not a team that's, you know, even ever made the playoffs in consecutive years in the history of their franchise. So even just not even able to offer you can join a contender right now, they have to sell them on the idea that they're going to be an annual contender going forward. And you know, that's a leap of faith that they really have to probably pay extra money to get them to make.
Talking with James Fagan, who writes White Sox for The Athletic. Follow him on Twitter at JRFEGAN. What's the White Sox pitch?
Eloy? I mean, it's kind of saying that, you know, look at the young talent we have. And I think very much, you know, as much as they may deny it probably and say they're making smart baseball deals as Yonder Alonso and John Jay, is look at this comfortable atmosphere we can offer you. Look at this very, you know, Latin player-friendly clubhouse, very, you know, community feel that, you know, Rick Renteria implements, that we can kind of accommodate you and make you feel not, you know, pressured or isolated in the clubhouse, but very much you're entering kind of a family type of atmosphere. Whether that's something Manny actually wants remains to be seen.
What do you make about the signings of Yonder, or the trade for Yonder Alonso and the signing of John Jay?
I'm totally on board that they know what they're doing. That's they're signing his boys. I mean, they're not signing, like, you know, Manny Tartable said he idolized Danny Tartable growing up, and they called a 55-year-old Danny Tartable and gave him a major league contract. These are legit dudes. Like, they're people who can justify their presence with their play. I mean, Yonder Alonso is better than what they had at first DH last year. They had a, you know, really bad production from the outfield last year. John Jay, you know, makes contact. He can be a grindy veteran and all that and can serve a purpose, but very much they have to know what they're doing. Like, this would be the most absurd coincidence of all time to add two guys who work out with Manny Machado every offseason and not have a view of the benefits they could serve in their recruitment pitch. So, yeah, I definitely think that's part of it. And I think, you know, these are smart people we're dealing with. They know what they're doing with those moves.
Yeah, I know that you can't answer this with 100% assurity, but from people that you talk to around baseball, does any of that stuff matter? Or at the end of the day, do the dollars matter more?
I think it's a situation where, Ken Rosenthal has put this out a couple times, where it's in all things being equal, it can't hurt. Type of situation. The dollars have to be absolutely online, probably, more than his absolute favorite preference place like New York. And this is a little thing. Why not do it if it makes sense, if it's not a major outlay for the organization or is it disrupting what you're doing long term? It just shows your commitment. I mean, I'm sure, if they land him, he'll say that they made it clear to them that he's wanted here and that they very much want him to be comfortable here. It's just another thing that they can demonstrate, and it's kind of a unique situation they're in where their payroll is absolutely empty. Their major league roster, has so many gaps in it they can fill with, guys that he's friendly with. Why not do it? Why not go that extra mile to land a top free agent that you've never landed before? So it kind of seems that you would have to pull out all the stops to do it. Why not do it?
Let's say the White Sox get Machado. Is he their everyday shortstop or everyday third baseman?
I don't know, because I think his clearly, it's weird to say from a year ago, but Tim, because he just thought of him as mostly an athlete with offensive upside and base stealing and what his role would be best is unclear. But Tim Anderson's best service to you right now is a shortstop. He's learned how to play that position, become plus to that position in a way that he's not necessarily going to be if you throw him out there in center field or move him to third base or second base or something weird while moving Moncada to third. So I think that's the best team is probably putting Machado at third base and Tim Anderson at second and Yoan at Tim Anderson short and Yoan at second. But at the same time, Machado is a value where you kind of have to – he's more important than those concerns would be as far as absolute optimization of these other guys. So I think ideally you put him at Machado at third base, but, there might be a situation where you have to do what he wants.
Yeah, he gets to tell you, I'm gonna play shortstop for a couple more years, and then I'll go over to third base. I mean, that makes sense. I mean, you're gonna capitulate to a guy like that to get that offense and what he is. I think he's a much better third baseman than shortstop at this point. But I mean, it's not like he's a nightmare at shortstop.
Right. It's not like Bryce Harper saying, "Well, I want to catch again, so can I do that if I sign with you?"
Right, because that would be weird if that were the case. James Fagan of The Athletic talking White Sox here with us. You bring up an interesting thing because I've heard some people speculate that Tim Anderson isn't going to be a shortstop at some point, that maybe those 20 home runs are better served with him in the outfield, but it feels like that outfield eventually is going to get pretty crowded for the White Sox. So what does one do with Tim Anderson?
I mean, I don't blame anyone at all for not watching closely the second half of the 2018 season, but I talked to Scott at the beginning of the season and talked to him afterwards, and they felt like he shut them up as far as being able to stick at that position and that the defense he played across the second half kind of showed that that's where he's best at and that he's plus there, not just an athletic guy who's doing what he can with the, making mistakes and the kind of little things, but that he's a plus defensive shortstop. And, with the bat still kind of coming along, he's still not a guy who gets on base for you at a good rate. He's still a bit under average as far as his total offense contribution. The best version of Tim Anderson is the guy who's giving you plus, defense and good base running and then kind of making up for whatever shortcomings there are off the bat. He says nice pop. He has great bat speed that could develop along, but I think his best value to you, he's a 2-3 win player or more playing short.
Are there any other things that that you feel the White Sox have addressed or still need to address while this hunt for Machado or Harper goes on?
I mean, I think if they add Machado, it'd be kind of like when the Bears added Khalil Mack, where, some skeptics like us were saying patient, this doesn't make them a Super Bowl contender overnight. They still have to build up things. But really, they have to operate in a way where they're trying to contend from there on out. And with if they're a rebuilding team that doesn't land Machado, throwing the fifth starter slot to a mix of Dylan Covey and Manny Benuelos and Jordan Stevens is fine. Whereas if they're adding Machado, you look at kind of a rotation that still needs additions to it. And, you know, they've been saying for the last month that they're looking at the trade market to kind of find a starter who they can eat the salary of and maybe not have to spend too much, you know, prospect value for. They would probably need to ramp up those efforts if they sign Machado to kind of give this team kind of a legitimate chance to at least be interesting or at least make some noise in the wild card race with the rotations they have.
Do you think that Harper and Machado are playing chicken with each other? Like you need to sign first so you can set the market, and then I'll figure out what I want to do.
I'd be more convinced that their agents are doing that more than they are doing that. But I definitely saw that, could see that happening. It's really hard to say because both of them really, you know, shrouded in secrecy. I mean, one of the benefits of my job is being able to talk to, you know, Ken or Rosenthal every day or talk to the other reporters, and none of them are approaching this with any more certainty than I have, and they talk to a lot more people than I do. So I think we're all kind of a little guessing at what really their intentions are, but it's two mega agents who are trying to play the market as much as they can possibly play it. So, yeah, I could see that.
How quickly do you think one of them signs?
I mean, you know, it could be – I think it could be this week, but you know, I'm hoping it's not until I get back. That would be my preference.
Would you have to cut your trip short if that happened?
You know, Lauren Commoner is a very capable reporter and writer, and can, you know,
yes, she is,
out to a guaranteed rate field for me, and maybe write somewhere between 1 and 8 articles on the topic.
Yeah, while you're on the beach.
Yeah. That sounds like a good deal.
Earning 20% like Hans Gruber. All right. Well, James, I appreciate the time as always. You do fantastic work, and I always like when we get a chance to chat. And now the Bears is over. Sigh. We will get the opportunity to chat a little bit more, but I won't bother you while you're in the Dominican Republic.
Yeah, I don't know what my data plan is out of country yet. So
I'm not going to bother you, man. I'll see if you post stuff on social, but I'm going to leave you alone and hopefully I'll keep my fingers crossed for what happens with the White Sox. Thanks for the time, my man.
Thanks for having me.
That's James Fagan of The Athletic. He does a great job. Can I ask a question? Look, I don't want to do too much on this, but you and I haven't had the chance to talk White Sox for real, for real. I got a segment where we can do it. So if you would call in, I want to get your thoughts on this. On a scale of 1 to 10, what's your level of belief that the White Sox are going to be able to sign either Harper or Machado? You can text us at 670-11. You can call us at 312-644-6767. We'll do like 10 minutes where we talk about it, and then we'll move on to other things. But since you and I haven't had a chance to discuss, I would like to know your feelings on it. 312-644-6767. Back after this on The Score. Glad that you are hanging out. We have been talking a little bit of White Sox baseball. We're going to make our way back to Bears in a little bit. And then at 9 o'clock, we're going to talk a little NFL because Jim Ozarski is going to be on the show. I'm curious what he thinks about the Packers' new head coach, Matt LaFleur. So we're going to discuss that for the listener that's a big Packers fan, because I know I got some of those too. And it affects the Bears, so we'll discuss that. Sierra Santos was on and we talked. She was here in studio. She's great, as usual. And some Texans are reacting to her visit, at least a story that she told at the end of the visit, where she says, "My heart thinks 80-20 chance that the White Sox will get Machado, but after hearing that testimony from Sierra, my brain says 20-80. Yep. 804? I don't even know where 804 is. 804 text says, "Hey, LH, so did your guys decide who Sierra's Sox disser was? They took a guess, and I thought it was a really good guess, but they were wrong. And then she told me who it was. I'm not telling." And so we're like, "Are you going to tell?" "No, I'm not telling." But she did tell us who it was. So the question on the table for you right now, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being there, 0 being there, not, I guess 0 to 10, the White Sox aren't getting Harper and or Machado, and 10 being there getting them both, where are you right now with this?
312-644-6767. And let me reiterate some of my skepticism that I was talking about with James Fagan. And I understand, like, he covers a team. He's closer to it than I am. I just feel like there was a lot of, well, you know, the White Sox are in on Harper. Notice how quiet that's gotten? Like, when the season ends, like, oh, White Sox front runner, Harper. And then it kind of slowly melted into, well, you know, the White Sox are making sure that they're involved in the Harper negotiations. With the Machado thing, I'm not sure where this thing ends up going. I think that the White Sox have to do what they're doing. They have to bring in Yonder Alonso, and they have to sign John Jay, and they have to make sure that they've got all their ducks in a row to make Manny feel as important as possible, along with giving him all the money too. But it's just going to suck if they don't get him. It's 312-644-6767 is the number. Mark is out in Michigan City. Hey, Mark, you're on the Score.
Hey, Lawrence, how you doing? I'd say the chances of getting Harper 3, Machado 4, as Mrs. Santos says, spot on. From that Cub player who wants to stay in Chicago but didn't want to play for the White Sox because no one shows up. The last few years, Manny Machado appeared in a Baltimore Orioles, also seen stadium full of empty seats. And Jerry Reinsdorf is not a good owner. He was part of that 94 strike. I know a lot of young people don't remember that, but he threw his team under the bus. And the next year later, he tried to extort people when the Cubs started playing the Sox. And he was going to force people to buy tickets to three other games, Sox fans, to watch their Sox play the Cubs.
All right. I appreciate your phone call. I don't know if I want to fight any wars of the past. Like, I definitely don't want to go 25 years back to fight a war with Jerry Reinsdorf. I mean, I got some stuff I want to say about his basketball team, but that'll have to wait until later on this week. I just want the White Sox to be serious and be taken seriously. And I don't know if this, them trying to get Harper and or Machado does that. Like, getting one of them would. But I'm telling you, if they don't get them, it's after all the yapping that was going on about their interval, where they, even today, like, even if you put in Machado, you get back this headline: White Sox reportedly signed Manny Machado's longtime friend after trading for his brother-in-law in the offseason. You get this headline: White Sox among front runners for Manny Machado. Like, you get all of this stuff. You get reporters talking about. Here, this is from Bob Nightingale. The Yankees are either playing it coy, trying to gauge the Andujar trade market, or simply have no intention of offering Manny Machado a $200 million-plus contract. The Chicago White Sox and Philadelphia Phillies remain the most aggressive teams for the prized infielder. This from John Morosi. Sources: Phillies White Sox monitoring Mike Moustakas market and will consider contract offers if/when Manny Machado signs elsewhere. That excites you, Herbie? Mike Moustakas, White Sox fan going, Moose, every time he comes up to me. Of course it doesn't. Of course it doesn't.
He's not a good player.
Do you think they're going to get either one of these guys?
No. It's improved from last year. I thought there was no chance they would even be in the conversation. I also still think that Manny Machado is using the White Sox offer
for leverage
to get a better offer other places.
It is my worst nightmare. Like, my nightmare is whether it's Harper or Machado. Like, when they did the whole thing and there were people like, well, he spent 2 days with the White Sox and only spent 90 minutes with the Yankees. And I'm sitting there going, yeah, he came here, you kicked the tires, and then you go, hey, Phillies and Yankees. Guess what the White Sox offered me? They offered me this. But you were in the playoffs last year, and you're close to being in the playoffs. So if you come close to offering me this, then I'll come and play for you. It's the sliding scale, is what I was talking about with Sierra.
I mean, you just said it. the Yankees haven't offered him anything, and if they're going to offer him, it's going to be $200 million. I think the White Sox are way past that. And they're like, just make it $250 and we'll come through.
Right.
New York.
Can you get it to $225?
I mean, if the White Sox, all reports, they've already offered him. It's out there.
Right.
They're bringing his family in, making him comfortable, allowing him to play shortstop. Because think about this also. The Yankees, Didi's coming back the year after that. I mean, they might move him to third base after next year. It's like, okay, cool.
Which actually makes a lot of sense from a career standpoint.
Perfect.
It works out really well.
And the White Sox will never move him to third base until he wants to go to third base.
Oh. And then we're out there 3 years from now looking at the guy who used to be Manny Machado is not get some balls in the hole. And we're like, remember he used to be Manny Machado? He's still Manny Machado at the plate. But he's not Manny Machado in the field anymore.
And now, I don't blame them for doing what they did and going after these guys. I want to blame them if they don't get them.
Okay, that's fair.
Because they're a big boy team. If you're going to go into the pond, if you're going to go with the big sharks, you better bring something back.
You got to overpay, like, big time.
And they know that.
It just is, if they don't get them, it's just going to feel.
It's the worst because it'll be another Chicago team that I root for with that narrative. That they go after these guys and they don't
get them.
Take them seriously.
Yeah.
It's the worst feeling ever. And then they get jaded and then they give up entirely on the idea of recruiting a big-time free agent.
And what Sierra said about players saying that they don't want to play for the White Sox because of the atmosphere, I've heard that before from Chris Ranji talking to players.
It doesn't surprise me. That's part of it. That's your work environment. If you're looking for a new place to work, you're factoring in a lot of different things. And if you're a baseball player, like how your home field feels is a part of it. Make yourself a baseball player just for a second. Think about where you would want to play. Now, a lot of us grew up wanting to be a White Sox. A lot of us. But now think about if you had options. If you had the option, would you choose your hometown team? Would you choose the White Sox over other teams? And I don't know if you would.
I mean, think about any Chicagoan you know about anything. Entertainment, athletics, the song and the rap and the lyrics were, home is where the hatred is. And think about everyone who's come back here. Derrick Rose left a pariah. Jabari sitting on the bench. Everybody hates Jabari. Eddie Curry. Everybody. You come back, the love is not here.
No, but Herbie, my point in that is saying, because Manny's not from here, he's from Florida. But,
yeah.
But my point is that even for those of us who grew up here, if given Manny Machado's choice, would we choose the White Sox?
No. I don't know why the White Sox are in the conversation, except for to use as leverage.
My hope is that they're not, that they are being taken seriously and that they end up with Machado and or Harper. But
I mean, if you're being serious, like if I'm a White Sox fan to the core, and if I had baseball skills and while I was 26, I was free to go wherever I wanted to, the White Sox would not be in the conversation. This White Sox team with this management and this ownership and how the team's trajectory is going, no. Why would I come here? Money can be, I can find money anywhere. Philadelphia has a lower tax rate. I'll get more money.
And New York might have more opportunities because you're going to be winning along with it being New York.
And then also I have other players who are making as much money as I am and can produce. Giancarlo Stanton is out there.
Aaron Judge.
You know, you got some good players. You got that youngster the Cubs gave up. What's
Labor Torres.
That guy.
D.D. Gregorius when he's, you know, good. Hey, Doug, you're on the score.
Thank you. I enjoy your show. I especially enjoyed your interview with Pat McManally. At IIT, we're big Sox fans right next to the park. And I would love to see Moncada affected by Machado. I think those two could really hit it off. I hope they talk when he was here for the couple of days he was here.
Okay.
All right.
I appreciate the phone call. Did he say Machado? Did you put them together? Moncada and Machado? I don't know if Yoan Moncada is enough to make me go, yes, I'm going to sign here and be here for forever. It's part of it, but I don't know if it's – I don't think that it's as big of a deal as that caller was saying. Hey, Steve, you're on the Score.
Hey, Lawrence, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well, man. What's on your mind?
Yeah, you know what this feels like is 2010 summer for the Bulls, and you know we had traded Kirk Heinrich. We did all this stuff to put us in place to get LeBron and get a shot at that. And, like, you knew it wasn't going to happen, but then things just kept coming out, and it's like, oh, maybe, maybe. And then when it didn't, not only did it suck, and then you went and got Carlos Boozer as a consolation prize. I think that's what's going to happen with the Sox.
Oh, the Carlos Boozer years. Get that, Joe! As Matt Spiegel would say, as Carlos Boozer. You don't want to be the consolation prize. You don't want to be the leverage, but I don't have a solution. Like, there's no solution to this. It's not like the White Sox can't be like, now don't use this as leverage, Manny. They have to go into it thinking, we've got a shot to land this guy, and we've got to do whatever it takes to get him.
I just asked Herb, I don't get what is it about either Reinsdorf-owned organizations or the city that people just don't take them seriously. Like, I don't get it.
Well, in the White Sox case, I don't know if it's they don't necessarily take them seriously. But if you're looking at them, if we're being objective, we look at the White Sox and go, you're probably still a little ways away from being a legitimate contender. Michael Kopech is not expected to pitch until later on in the season. Your big talent that's in the minor leagues isn't here yet. It's still in the minor leagues. That's why James Fagan is going to the Dominican Republic. Because Eloy is going to be in Glendale, but we don't know when he's going to be a White Sox. We don't know. I think it's a hard sell. Like which is why you have to do all this stuff. You have to trade for his brother-in-law and sign one of his workout buddies and hope that along with your offer and what your future might be will be good enough. Southside and Mark, you're on the Score.
Hey, Lawrence, love the show. There's no way we're going to get him. I don't think our $18,000 per game is going to be able to support that kind of contract. But I would rather have like a Dallas that pitcher from Houston.
Dallas
Keuchel. I'd
rather
have something. I want something like that. I miss my Chris Sale. I need a top of the line pitcher.
I'd rather have a position player that plays every day than Dallas Keuchel. I got a tweet. The trajectory of the team is what threw me off. Robert, Eloy, Cease, Kopech, lots of bright spots. I agree with you. But again, make yourself Manny. You just finished playing in the World Series. You want to go back to building? Like all that promised building that they were doing in Baltimore? Like you want to go back to that? And think about... Here, let me break it down to you this way. Think about how great you felt the night that Kopech started. I was at the ballpark. It was electric. It was so much fun. Think about that night. And it rained and it rained. And like every time Kopech started at home, it rained. And so that one time that he started, and then he's done. And you go, oh, so whatever you were hoping, whatever value you were hoping to get from Kopech last year, now goes back a year. The experience that you were hoping that you get with Kopech goes back a year. So everything gets pushed back. Like, legitimately, I really want you to seriously think about it, and I want you to try not to think with your heart. If you were in Manny Machado's shoes, if you had the options that he has, would the White Sox be a legitimate option for you? Just think about it. There's no definitive answer. I just wanted to discuss. We're going to take a break. We're going to get back to some football stuff. Some cool stuff happened on the show last night. I want to share some of it. Back after this on The Score. So we're here until 10 talking about all sorts of stuff tonight. This guy texted in. He's like, how many times have we heard Harper wants to play with his friend Brian or Machado wants to play with his cousin Almora? But it's weird Machado to play with his brother-in-law and friend. And how many times have I made fun of all of the Harper Bryant? He's got a dog named Wrigley, so that's why he's going to sign with the Cubs. I do feel like Harper ends up back in Washington. It's like, oh, we did all this, and then you end up back there. And it might be where he wants to be. I think L.A. would be cool for him. I still think that there's a chance that Theo finds $300 million in a couch. Like, Theo's walking around Wrigley Field. He's like, oh, you know, this cushion is really uncomfortable. What's under here? Oh, it's $300 million.
Oh, I thought it was going to be heroin.
No, it's not going to be that.
I thought you were referring to 25th Hour.
No. Dog sniffing, the drug sniffing dogs. And what was her name in that?
Natural.
I think that's one of Spike Lee's best movies.
I also agree.
And maybe his best movie, but, you know. What are you saying, Tony?
Tony hasn't seen the movie, so he's looking it up.
Oh, my God. You haven't seen 25th Hour? Like,
with my guy.
Edward Norton.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
they had, like, the ultimate, like, race scene?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, yeah.
Or are you talking about American History X now?
No. I'm talking about 25th Hour.
Okay, yeah.
I've also seen American History
where Spike Lee, like, I thought it was just a really beautiful homage to post 9/11 New York City. Really beautiful. But and Philip Seymour Hoffman being creepy. Not his creepiest, because his creepiest was Boogie Nights. He had the creep face going in Boogie Nights. But he was still pretty creepy.
Yeah, he was like lusting over Anna Paquin.
Yeah. Is Barry Pepper as well in that
Correct.
Movie?
He was in what, 61?
Yes.
I think he was like Mickey Mantle.
Yes. Or did he play Roger Maris?
Maybe Roger Maris.
I think he was Roger Maris. Remember when we cared about that? Remember? And then 66 home runs for Sammy Sosa. And now Sammy Sosa is like persona non grata. We sat there in 1998. I was here at this radio station. It was my first year at this radio station. You're like, this is amazing. And now it's like, it didn't happen. It doesn't exist. Because Kerry Wood took a baseball bat to his boombox. Sammy doesn't exist for me anymore. You went to every game. You knew the little thing he did in the camera. When he hit a home run, you were chanting his name, even as they were finding Super Balls in his bat. And then he doesn't exist anymore.
I walked around that ballpark. There's not that many Sammy memories around there.
No. They should fix that.
I mean, at minimum, his number should be retired. I'm tired of seeing Tyler Chatwood or Junior Lake or Jason Marquis or the next bum with the 21 on.
How about this? Even if you don't want to retire it, you shouldn't reissue it. Like, if you don't want to do the thing and he has to come kiss the ring and all that stuff, fine. But bums shouldn't get to wear his number. That's bad.
I mean, he's like, if you look at the whole history of the Cubs, probably the fifth best player. Arguably the fifth best player in their history.
Behind?
Ernie Banks.
Here we go.
Sandberg, Sano.
What?
Yeah. I mean, war wise, he's behind, I think, most of those guys. And then Sweet Swiggin' Billy Williams.
You just wanted to say the Alabama Whistler's name.
Yeah. William D. Williams.
It's a great name.
That's a different guy. That's the Colt 45 guy.
That is him. Lando Calrissian. How many home runs Sammy Sosa hit?
521, I believe.
No, no.
Oh, for the Cubs, he hit 521. I think he hit 600.
Yes. Total. Yes. Banks, what did Banks do? 514 home runs for Banks? They should just, I mean, I get it. He's difficult. And they're difficult. They should just fix it and be done with it. Then we can stop talking about it. Yes, Tony?
Well, Cubs fans should cape for him like Bulls fans do for Rose. Nobody would dare come here and wear that one. Nobody would dare do it. Got to make it uncomfortable for them to wear, put on that 21.
Yeah, but people here don't mind. You see Tyler Chatwood out there wearing 21. It's like no big deal at all. Like one of your all-time greats wore that number. Then again, Maddox wore 31, right? After Fergie wore it. And now they're both retired, even though it was the same number. But
all right, all-time war.
Okay.
Cubs. Cap Anson, number one.
Well, let's not celebrate him. If we're going to start judging things, we probably shouldn't. Go ahead.
Number two, Ron Santo, 68.5. Ernie Banks, 64.4. Ryan Sandberg, 62.1. Sammy Sosa, 60, with a lot less plate appearances than all the rest of the guys.
Correct. You got him behind. All right.
Well, Billy D. Williams is right there. Billy D. Williams. Billy Williams is right there.
Do we know that? Because it would be great if Billy Williams' middle name started with a D. That would be awesome. Do we know what his middle name is? Is that on Baseball Reference? No?
L.
Oh, he's
Leo.
He's William L. Williams. All right. It's not as cool as, you know.
William Williams from Whistler.
Alabama Whistler. You best believe it. I guess we can't do the Bears thing now.
Sorry, Bears.
Yeah, we'll get to it on the other side. But we are going to talk about the Bears in... I'm going to actually ask Jim Ozarski about that, along with what the Packers did. Because the Packers went and got themselves a young coach. Hold up. Before I get to Ozarski, Arizona. Really? Cliff Kingsbury. Really? Do you remember in Moneyball where they're talking about, like, the scouts are like, he's got good face. He's got a good face. He's handsome. That means he's confident. I feel like that's exactly what we're doing. Like, oh, let's get Kingsbury in there because he's handsome.
And he knows Sean McVay.
Oh, and he kind of knows Patrick Mahomes. And he coached Baker Mayfield, but not well, because then Baker left and went somewhere else. Okay.
Copycat League is taking a little bit too literally, I think, in this sense.
You know what I think is really funny? And I don't mean to, like, rub this in Bears fans' face like red meat, but people talk about get yourself a Sean McVay clone. Why aren't people saying get yourself a Matt Nagy clone? He's a year older. Or he's a year older than Kingsbury. And he was wildly successful in his first year. Why wouldn't you go try and find a guy who has extensive history in a great coaching tree, but is young and exciting versus we got to get a handsome guy? I really want that thing in Arizona to fail.
No, I like Josh Rosen.
I like Josh Rosen too. And unfortunately, he is collateral damage in this. Because you gave Steve Wilks a year for a team that was playing hard until the end, even though they didn't have any talent. And you're like, let's get Cliff Kingsbury. He knows what to do. I hope that goes down in flames. More talk about the new hot young coach in Green Bay. He's 39, folks. He's Matt LaFleur. And we, isn't that the name of the character in Dodgeball?
Yeah, I was just thinking about it. Like, LaFleur sounds familiar.
Oh, he's Pete LaFleur, right? Yeah. I'm sure Vince Vaughn will just call in. He's probably listening right now. We'll talk with Ozarski about the new head coach in Green Bay and what that means for you, the Bears fan, next here on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.